in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth. Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. This is Kate McCall. I am co-founder and co-editor of our website, which is www.naturopathicearth.com. Thanks for tuning in today. You can also find us at Twitter and Facebook, and both of those are at Naturopath Earth. So you can find us there. So I am a new voice doing the intro today, but don't worry, don't fear, my friends. I am joined by none other than A. Gregory Luna. You can call him Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, I'm lurking in the background.
He's letting me run the mic today. And
you're doing a great job.
We've done a couple takes that have been fairly disastrous, but
it's the giggle. She gets
the yeah, so forgive me. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the latest posts from A. Gregory Luna. It's titled, "The Ideal Clean Eating Pantry, How to Change Your Pantry from a Cesspool of Disease-Causing Frankenfoods."
Wait, there's more.
"To a Sanctuary of Health."
Yes.
That's quite the mouthful.
It's not long enough.
What's a frankenfood?
A frankenfood is a food that is processed and not real.
Like Frankenstein.
Spoof of Frankenstein, something that's not natural and found in nature. Yes.
So when I look at the back of a package of food and I cannot pronounce the ingredients, that would be a frankenfood?
Yes. Pretty much all processed foods down the aisles are going to be frankenfoods. If God didn't make it,
don't eat it.
So it's a frankenfood. Yes.
Well, why don't we jump right into it and talk a little bit about cleaning out the pantry?
Okay, well, I wanted to mention a couple of things about my previous post on the ideal clean eating refrigerator. A couple of things I forgot to mention. The most important is that eggs. I totally forgot eggs. How can I forget eggs?
Favorite food.
Yes, I can.
And basically the only thing you know how to cook.
That's right. I cook eggs mediocrely well. Not too well, but I do eat eggs for brinner, which is breakfast for dinner.
Why do you not eat them for breakfast?
Because I fast. I've been fasting for many years. I think I've mentioned in the Confessions podcast that I continue to fast, but I don't eat breakfast. In fact, I try not to eat until about, ideally, 2 or 3 o'clock, and then my eating window is until about 7, ideally. So I like to pack in everything in about 5 hours if I can. But I love eggs so much. So going back to the ideal clean eating fridge, you do want to throw out the conventional eggs because, again, those chickens are living in filth. They don't get sunlight. They eat genetically modified feed. And I actually read somewhere that one pastured egg is equal to 6 conventional eggs in terms of nutrition. So definitely want to throw out the conventional eggs and then replace it with pastured chicken eggs. And pastured eggs, at least at our local supermarkets, about $6 per dozen. Yeah. So I guess the alternative would be organic. But even with organic, they are not fed genetically modified feed necessarily, but they are fed feed because feed is cheaper. And most of those hens do get sunlight and they get to range around the pasture, roam around the pasture. And okay. And they do get to eat some worms and eat some foods that chickens normally eat, but they are also fed typically feed.
And so if I'm at the grocery store and I'm looking at all of the choices of eggs,
at that point, what you're going to do is go to your phone and look up our article on eggs.
Oh.
Yeah, we have an article on that, okay. Kate. Yeah, that's great. So the other thing I wanted to mention now that Kate's in here is when I interviewed her, we were talking about my favorite comedy and I blanked. Remember the crickets were chirping? And now I totally remember what it would be. It would be my classic show about 4 guys in Hollywood where the lead is a young actor and his group of friends from Brooklyn come and live with him in Hollywood, and it's about their adventures in Hollywood. Any idea what that is?
No.
No clue?
No.
It's Entourage. I love Entourage. I love me some Turtle and E. I love that show.
I've never watched a single episode.
Johnny Drama?
Never.
Do you know that the lead actor, Adrian Grenier?
I know.
Good looking. He's got that black hair. Yeah.
Wasn't he in a movie many moons ago with Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yes. Drives Me Crazy from the Britney Spears song.
They were neighbors.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was from her first album. Yeah, so I love that show. That show got really bad at the end because we were talking about how shows get bad at the end. And that was one that the last, three seasons were bad. But you know how it is with a lot of shows? You stick with them because you think they're going to get better. Mm-hmm. One that we both like was The Affair. Remember The Affair started out really good over on Showtime. And then the last season is just horrible.
I don't know where they're going
to go. You know, and I've heard that Homeland's kind of the same thing. Mm. First couple seasons were really good and then just went...
Disappointing.
So anyway, you don't say anyways. Anyways, so let's talk about the ideal pantry. Ideal pantry, I have a joke on the article on the website, which Kate tells me is a bad, uninteresting, unfunny joke. But the joke is, you say the question.
What is the ideal pantry?
Empty. Ba-dump, bump.
Pity laugh.
And the reason I say that is because in the ideal clean eating paleo world, really we shouldn't have a pantry because everything should be fresh. And most of the things that you do have in a pantry are going to be processed and full of preservatives. I mean, we will mention in this podcast, I mean, there are some foods that you can have in the pantry, but the majority of the food that the typical American, and frankly, I mean, I probably have some of these foods in there, are just junk. They're just junk. Why are they junk, Kate? Do you know? Why they're junky?
Because they're Frankenfood.
They're Frankenfood.
Because we shopped on the inside of the supermarket.
That's right.
The outside.
Stay on the outside. It's like the opposite of Meet the Parents, where Robert De Niro's dad says, you got to be in the inner circle.
Oh.
And he catches him with the weed. He's like, you're going to be in the outer circle. Oh. So here you want to be in the outer ring of the grocery store, not the inner ring.
And this, when Gregory first told me about this, I was devastated because I'm a mother of five, as you know, and my pantry was chock full of snacks and crackers. And
so let's get to those foods, yeah. But briefly, let's talk about. Oh, accidentally hit the desk there. Uh oh, where's the little cough button to cough over the cough? Hopefully, no belching will come next. Yes. Right, no belching. So one of the issues, and I covered a lot of the toxic ingredients that you find in foods in the fridge podcast, but a lot of them you're also going to find in processed foods in the pantry in the those foods. So refined sugars. So you're going to have a lot of high fructose corn syrup. You know, Sunny D. The kids love Sunny D. Right, the students see them walking around with hot Sunny D. Tell them, it's like there's barely, if any, orange in there. It's all corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup and whatnot, food dyes. But you'll be amazed. I mean, Kate could probably tell you how many food items have high fructose corn syrup in the pantry. I mean, it's cheaper than sugar. So they put it in there. So, I mean, pretty much name any candy, like a Skittles, the fruit one. See, Kate and I have this discussion. I'm more of a chocolatey candy kind of guy. I like peanut butter cups and all the chocolate ones, but I don't like nuts in my chocolate. I don't like Snickers. Kate's more of a Skittles, Now and Laters, those peach rings, the gummy bears. She likes all those. Those have a lot more high fructose corn syrup, but high fructose corn syrup is found in practically anything. Because again, it's the corn industry is subsidized in America, which makes it very dirt cheap. And so it's got to the point where it's cheaper to put in this super, super processed byproduct of corn than to put in actual sugar from sugar cane. I mean, sugar cane, where do you find sugar cane nowadays? In Cuba? You go down to Cuba?
Say, I went on vacation with my family, and we were about to go cruise tube down this river, and there was sugarcane growing, you know, when we hiked down into the river, and we broke off a piece of it and ate it.
I mean, that's the way it's meant to be. I mean, that's one of the reasons why America was so interested in the Caribbean, is because of all the sugarcane plantations that Cuba had when Spain was owning it. Nowadays, the only place you really see organic cane sugars is some of those kind of like elite soft drinks. Like if you go to maybe Freebirds or those places, they'll have sodas made with organic cane sugar because, again, most sodas have high fructose corn syrup. The other more very ubiquitous or omnipresent ingredient is going to be the processed flour. I mean, everything's got flour. Everything's got flour. I mean, you're looking at the crackers.
Pastas.
The cookies. The couscous. But not the baba ganoush. Only Muslim food has the coolest names. But flour isn't everything. Then you got the MSGs. We do have an article on MSGs, but MSGs is an excitotoxin. It overstimulates the neurons in our body to the point where they explode. MSGs are typically found as salty flavor enhancers. So, Kate, we see them in the good old Cheetos. Are you a big Cheeto Dorito fan or not really?
Well, Cheetos I can pass on, but I do like the red chips sometimes. Doritos.
Oh, the red chips. I was wondering what brand that is. I've never heard of that one. The red chips. It's bad. It's like a...
The off-brand because they're cheaper.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's funny when you see the grape juices and all of them, they don't even named after like a fruit. They're like red juice, purple juice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you're going to see it in the Cheetos, the Doritos, anything that's flavored. Like I tell my students, it's... When there's a barbecue flavored chip, there isn't some dude that's dropping a drop of barbecue sauce on every chip as it goes down the conveyor belt. These are just chemicals that mimic the flavor. So pretty much every chip that has a flavor, sour cream, honey mustard, MSGs. So, I mean, there are some chips that don't have it, and we'll mention some in a second, but the unflavored chips, they don't have it. Artificial flavors, you find that in a host of foods. Pretty much all the candies and cookies are going to have artificial flavors. Artificial sweeteners, you'll find this in a lot of foods. Actually, cereals have a lot, and you're also going to find them in a lot of cookies because now they know, Big Food knows that parents are looking at the sugar content, and most parents know that sugar's bad, right? They probably don't know about the industrial-grade vegetable oils that are in all these food items, too, that are arguably worse. But they know sugar's bad, so they'll look on the back and they'll look at the ingredient and they'll say, oh, it only has 5 grams of sugar. Well, the reason that is because they put in Splenda and NutraSweet into the food item, which will artificially lower the number. So you'll see that in a lot of cereals, for example. They do that quite a bit.
So you're telling me that Diet Coke is not... an appropriate substitute for regular Coke?
No, it is 5 times worse because of the aspartame. That's another podcast. We need to talk about how aspartame got into the food supply back in the 80s. Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense under Baby Bush, he was the CEO of the company, Cerl, that was in charge of aspartame. And for 20 years, all the studies showed it was toxic, but... He, and then when Reagan got into power, he bribed the head of fired the head of the FDA and then brought in his own guy. And then with a little bribery, they got aspartame put on the market. But Kate's snoring right now, so she doesn't want
to. I nearly did.
Almost.
That.
I had to change the subject really fast. The other thing is food dyes. You know, anything that is brightly colored is going to have food dyes. So M&Ms. Do you have a favorite type of M&M?
I know I should say brown.
No, but in terms of like... crispy, peanut butter, plain. Almond, plain.
I know, I'm boring.
No, I like, you know what I like?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Yeah, peanut butter is my favorite, that red bag. The red bag. I'm not a big fan of the nut one. I'm not like peanut. I've always liked the peanut butter because I like peanut butter, you know. I love getting that big piece of dark chocolate and filling it up with peanut butter or almond butter. I just like that combination, but... Food dyes you're going to find also in chips. You know, Cheetos has food dyes and a host of other foods. And then you got soy lecithin. Soy lecithin is an emulsifier that's found in a lot of packaged foods to make it soft and chewy. This is pretty much found in every known candy bar, pastry, Pop-Tart. Everything's got soy lecithin.
So tell me why it's so bad.
Because it's genetically modified.
Okay.
Most of the soybean oil or most of the soybeans in North America are genetically modified. So that's an issue there, which we talked about, I think, in the Dirty Dozen podcast. And also, soy is estrogenic. If you consume too much of it, it's goitrogenic too. It can affect your thyroid, but it's mostly an issue with women because you don't, well, first of all, you think you don't eat a lot of soy, but because you're like, I don't eat tofu. And I don't know. Some people don't like tofu. I'm not a big fan of tofu. I mean, the vegetarians put a lot of, they really did a lot of tofu recipes back in the 90s, like tofu chocolate chips and stuff like that. But, you know, even if you don't drink soy milk or eat edamame, there's so much soybean oil pretty much in every processed food that you're getting it through there. And then you're also getting it through soy lecithin too. So, I mean, it's everywhere. So don't go out of your way to drink soy milk, especially you ladies, because it causes too much estrogen in your body. We have a nice thermostat of how much estrogen both men and women should have. And when you ingest too much of it, it throws off the thermostat and then it leads to some ladyland issues, quote unquote, ladyland. So that's a problem. And then you got the preservatives, you got the potassium sorbate, you got the sodium nitrate, the sodium nitrites, you have those, the sodium citrates, you find those in a lot of the packaged food too. And then the last one's going to be your industrial grade vegetable oils. That's in everything. I mean, literally, I mean, you can be eating, just look at your crackers or look at your Ritz. They have soybean oil, or they're going to have corn oil, or they're going to have rapeseed oil, which is canola oil. You wonder why they changed the name of rapeseed oil to canola, right? Rapeseed. I don't think anyone wants to ingest anything with rapeseed oil. But now they call it canola because it was invented in Canada. So it's a portmanteau of Canadian and oil.
Oh.
Canola.
Sorry, I dozed off.
So by all means, go into your pantry right now and I guarantee you the first thing you grab is going to have a vegetable oil and a sugar in it, and probably throw in a soy lecithin because that's one of those hidden ingredients that people don't even know about, they haven't even heard of. And then there's probably going to be three types of sugar in it, even if it's an item that isn't really known to have a lot of sugar. Like, look at the condiments. We don't think about condiments having a lot of sugar, but barbecue sauce, it's got ketchup, as I say, ketchup, you got to catch up. Ketchup's got a lot. Honey mustard, you know, all those things have tons of sugar and we really don't think about it. Spaghetti sauce, tomato sauce, a lot of sugars. So, Kate, it's time to get the broom out. And metaphorically and maybe figuratively and literally, because our pantries are dirty, get the broom out and sweep some stuff out. So what are some of the things that we need to get out if we want to have a true clean eating paleo kind of pantry?
Well, I would probably say out of my pantry, cookies, candy, sweets of all kinds. I mean, those are pretty obvious, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Cereals and pastries, breakfast items. Those breakfast items are killers.
Absolutely. You know, one of the tricks that the cereal companies do, aside from inventing the motto, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, what we've always thought, is that they've changed the serving size in a lot of these, especially on the kid ones. So the kid ones, I think most of you guys know, they put them low in the aisle so the kids will see. And they'd be like, Mommy McCall, I want my Captain Crunch. And you're like, no, darling, but I want it now. So they put all the fiber, old lady, Metamucil stuff on the top. Then they put the kids' cereals on the bottom because it catches the attention of the kids. And, of course, they have brightly colored boxes. But what they've really done that's kind of insidious and completely legal, though, is they've changed the serving size. So typically, the serving size of cereal is a cup, right? So, again, people are glancing. They're busy. They glance at it, and they look, and it's like, oh, it only has 7 grams of sugar. What they haven't noticed is that the cereal companies have changed the serving size, in particular on the kids' cereals, to 3/4 of a cup. So instead of you thinking you're getting it 8 grams, you're really getting 12 because they've just reduced the serving size.
Tricky.
So that is tricky. Now, to Kellogg's credit and General Mills and all them, they have taken out more of the food dyes and they are trying to take out some of the sugar. But still, again, it's not a real food and it has a lot of sugar and it has a lot of flour, which is inflammatory to the body. So yeah, yank them. What else? Breads.
Bread.
That's tough. No, I'm not a big sliced bread guy. Are you a sliced bread person?
You know, I'm not, but my kids are.
Sure.
The typical PB&J lunch. I mean, you know, what do you replace that with? Something that isn't, you know, going to go bad throughout the course of the day. It's hard to find those school lunches that are healthy for our kids.
But speaking of, I did write an article on 4 high-fat, low-carb, kid-friendly snacks you could take to school. Where can you find that?
www.naturopathicearth.com?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of PB&J, I like to eat them with blue corn chips. I'm not really a big bread person. I have mentioned that I love naan, which is the Middle Eastern bread, the Indian bread. So I like to eat bread at that point. Sometimes I like to get a baguette and dip it in hot soup. Mm. I like pea soup.
I love sourdough bread.
Mm.
And, you know, I think it's tasty.
It is tasty. Bread does have an addictive quality in it to the brain. That's why we can't get enough of it. And we can't get enough of these processed packaged foods because most of them tend to be high in carbs and low in fat, so they're not satiating. That's why all of us have eaten a box of cereal or a box of chips with no problem. So chips would be on that list. You got to get those out. And I mean, we are going to mention replacements, but the list is slim, Kate. But crackers, you've mentioned.
Yeah.
Pasta, I think you mentioned. Pasta's tough. I mean, when you tell people, hey, you should do a paleo diet, they're like, okay, what's it like? You just got to eat like the caveman? Yeah, you got to eat like caveman, but you got to have to get rid of pasta, bread, cookies, crackers, cakes. And they're like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, peace out. See you later. And I can totally get it. Now, I don't ascribe to a full paleo diet. There's no way. To be completely honest, it's not like do as I say as I do. Isn't that the same? Do as I say. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Not as I do, yeah. I mean, I try to adhere to a modified paleo diet, but come on, naan? I mean, come on, you can't pass up naan.
You and your naan.
It's so soft and flaky. Canned soups, gotta go. They got the MSGs. They have the BPA, which is in the lining of all cans. BPA is a separate podcast, bisphenol A. Don't even get me started on baby bottles and bisphenol A, because these companies want to think that they're saints, that they've taken out BPA, but they've had it in there for 50 years. And so at that point, they didn't even care about the kids' health. But now when there's an uproar, oh, we're the saints, we're going to take it out. And they just put in another plasticizer. It's just infuriating. Syrups, got to go. Boxed rice, pastaroni, macaroni. What's the San Francisco treat? What's the rice one?
Rice-a-roni.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was so good.
I ate that all through college.
Oh, my God. Rice-a-roni is the best. Ramen, of course, should be on this list, too. Cup of noodles. I just remember rice-a-roni, just loving the rice, but it's opening that cheese packet. Remember the packet that come with it, right? And I always get broccoli, cheese, and rice back when I was in college.
My flavor was just the chicken, basic chicken.
Oh, I like the broccoli cheese.
But not only did I have the rice-a-roni, I also ate it with a whole package, a whole sleeve of saltines.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I gained 15 pounds my freshman year of college.
Oh, you had the actual freshman 15, the classic?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
You were a cheerleader in college. What are you talking about? First world problems. Okay. Don't tell me about weight gain. But yeah. Broccoli, cheese, and rice. I love the cheesy powder. And you mix it in there and then you let it cool and it gets coagulates on that layer on the top. Tuna helper, hamburger helper. All those have MSGs in the flavor packet, as they call it. Baked goods. So this is going to be like the cookie mix, the brownie mix.
Muffin mix. White flour.
Making the muffin man go out of business. Yeah. Unfortunately, again, preservatives, artificial flavors, artificial colorings, food dyes. Garbage. So, I mean.
Well.
You're probably asking, right? What's left, right?
My pantry is empty.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem. The clean eating fridge is not that hard because you can replace it with just clean organic meats or pastured meats, and you can replace with pastured eggs and freshly made juices and nitrate-free bacon. So there are replacements. But yeah, I mean, all the things we mentioned, we all love to eat, and they're so good and they're so tasty. And even worse is that our kids love it because that's all they know. You know, how do you try to introduce, you know, baba ganoush or hummus to a 6-year-old who's used to eating cheese dip or bean dip with Doritos? You know, it's very difficult. So it's a problem, but we're going to do our best to try to replace those foods with foods that are a little more friendly to our gut and friendly to our waistline. You know, grains are a problem, and we mentioned flour because I think some of you know, but grains have anti-nutrients. So, I mean, we don't want to be killed, right?
I don't.
Self-preservation, right? Well, plants are the same way. They release toxins that will dissuade animals and pests and bugs from eating them. And so when we ingest these items, we have a problem with them. Our intestines can have a problem with it. We have dysbiosis or GI ailments. The most famous of these are collectively called anti-nutrients. The most famous is gluten, which is a protein found in wheat, right? You hear all the time.
I mean, we've heard a lot about that.
Right. Gluten. Now, the celiac people are the only legitimate people who can't eat it, but a large percentage of the population does have problems with gluten. They're sensitive to it. I do have a podcast on the elimination diet. That's a very easy way to find out if you're allergic to any foods. So that will tell you. But if you have a lot of bloating and flatulence that's a little stinky, a little brain fog, that's a good sign that you're allergic to some food and that you need to do an elimination diet. So gluten's one, lectin's another one, phytic acid, which you find in legumes and nuts, is another one. So these are all problems. And that's one. The biggest problem with the flour is that you've taken all the fiber out of the bran and the grain. So wheat in itself is problematic because it has a lot of calories and it has a lot of anti-nutrients and too many carbs for what the body needs. But what we do is we refine it. So it's one thing if you eat whole grain because you're getting the bran and the fiber. But when we refine it and turn it into flour, it essentially becomes powdered sugar. Mm. And so it's going to spike your sugar. It's going to spike the insulin response. And then once insulin's in the body, then it puts the body in a state of inflammation. It puts the body in fat storage and all that. And so it's a major problem. So let's try to limit our flour. Okay, so let's go down and talk about things that we can replace it with. Kate, why don't you go first?
Okay. I know one thing that my kids like and will keep them full throughout the day is nuts. They love the pistachio. They love almonds.
What about Brazil nuts? Have they ever had Brazil nuts?
I believe that's actually a seed. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Yeah. They're big
it's
seeds.
Masquerading as a nut, but...
Well, like peanuts, right? Yeah.
Hmm. It's a legume.
I didn't know that. Really? The Brazil nut?
The Brazil nut is a seed.
That's such a big seed. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Well, what about macadamia nuts? Do they like those? I don't like them. I think they're kind of a chalky consistency, and they're way overpriced, too.
Yeah,
they're
very expensive.
$20 a pound over here in Texas. Mm-hmm. Nuts are great. Now, I do have an article on nut soaking, which sounds funny, right? You got to go soak nuts. But nuts have phytic acid. That's one of those anti-nutrients. So again, nuts don't want to be eaten. So they release a toxin that can cause a problem if you eat a lot of nuts. So you should ideally soak them. And if you have a dehydrator, you put them in a dehydrator. But that's ideal. And also, you want to get them unroasted and unsalted. So in other words, tasteless. Right? The problem with the roasting is that they roast them in the rancid vegetable oils. And then they can be oversalted, but salt's really not a problem. Even the American Heart Association came out and revised the sodium intake of the typical American and said you can have more salt, because beforehand it was all like salt restriction, sodium restriction. But salt's not really the problem with the nuts. It's more of what they're roasted in. So try to acquire a taste for plain unsalted nuts and then ideally soak them. But not all nuts need to be soaked, and same for seeds. So seeds would also be in your pantry. You can do the flax and the chia seeds. Those are more to put on top of foods than to eat, you know, per se. It's very difficult just to grab a chia seed. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had chia seeds?
I have, and I've had flax seeds before, just a spoonful, and it wasn't pleasant.
No. Some people get, one of the great things about chia seeds and flax seed is that they have a lot of fiber, and they have a lot of the omega-3 fatty acids. So it's essentially low-carb, high-fat, high-fat fiber, mm-hmm. which is not, it's kind of a rare combination to get high-fat and high-fiber in something. Well, guacamole, coconut have it too, but most people like to put it in a water and then drink it really quickly, because if you've ever tried chia seeds and put them in your mouth, they get stuck everywhere. And then when you put in water, it gets really gelatinous. So you have to drink it really quickly. But I tend to put chia seeds in smoothies and salads and my eggs and pretty much anything. You can put it on sundaes. They don't taste like anything. Mm-hmm. But the regular seeds, what about you? What do you ever eat sunflower or
I
pumpkin?
I like sunflower seeds.
Do you?
I do.
Are you one of those that can put it in their mouth and like uh-huh. break it off in your mouth?
Yes.
And see, how do you do that?
It's
talent.
Skill.
Yeah. Are you one of those?
Years of study at the baseball field. Because where I grew up, there was no tobacco. So people did sunflower seeds when they were baseball.
There's a mythical land where no tobacco exists? Where is that? The North Pole? Penguin land?
Yeah.
Djibouti? No, they probably smoke in Djibouti. Who knows what they smoke in Djibouti? Who knows? But seeds, I'm not a big fan. I don't really eat. I know pumpkin seeds are very nutrient dense. And what I've read in the past, pumpkin seeds are really the go-to seeds if you have to eat like regular seeds more than sunflower. But seeds are fine. Just try to get something that's limited in the salt. Also, you'll see like at gas stations, they have the flavored nuts like corn nuts are flavored. And then you'll have the flavored seeds too, sunflower seeds. Those are all MSG, right? They're going to be sour cream or whatever flavor. So again, try to go unflavored. What else? What else can we get in the pantry?
What's this quinoa business?
Yeah, quinoa. Quinoa?
I know.
Quinoa.
When you read it, it's like...
Quinoa. Yeah, quinoa is kind of considered like the gold standard of grains because it doesn't have gluten. So does oats. Oats are great too. You know, I know Kate wrote that recipe on the Steel Oats that we published recently. She's a big oats girl. Maybe she'll talk about that after we talk about quinoa, but quinoa is great because it doesn't have gluten and it's very high in fiber and protein. It's insanely high. I mean, grains, you typically get maybe 5 or 6 grams of protein and fiber, about the same amount, but in quinoa, it's in double digits. So quinoa is great. Now, some people don't like the taste and it's expensive. It's very expensive. So, but that is a go-to. You can also go with like wild rice, brown rice. Those tend to have a little more fiber and they're a little more nutrient dense than white rice. Some people in the paleo world despise rice because it does have a lot of carbs and it will spike your sugar. I mean, to go, to me, to live without rice is like being deprived, especially at Middle Eastern restaurants where they have basmati rice. Exactly. But what's your take on oats?
I'm a big oats fan. I do a lot of steel cut oats, especially because I'm currently nursing my 5-week-old baby. 5 weeks? No, 2-week-old baby. Yeah, I don't know where I got 5 weeks.
But 5 days in a week?
Maybe.
in a work week?
It's been a long 2 weeks. Let's just say that.
So what about oats? Why do you like steel cut over the rolled, the typical ones?
I love the texture. And I like making, you know, you can get the, I don't know what it's called, the express. You can buy the quick oats or whatever, but I don't like those. I think that it changes the texture.
Those are the flaky rolled ones.
Yeah. And they even have the quick steel cut oats. I would advise just getting the standard steel cut oats, not the quick.
I think it's a lot of its preference. In terms of nutrition, they're almost about the same. I think steel cut are a little more nutritious. They have a little more of the bran. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a lot of the texture. Some people don't like steel cut because it looks kind of like seedy, like couscous-like.
Right. But that's what I like about it.
And a lot of people, you know, do overnight oatmeals, which are great, especially if you put in the right stuff like Greek yogurt. And if you want to do a milk, do maybe perhaps a non-dairy milk and then the berries and stuff. So that's something you can do. You can do beef jerky as well. Just try to get nitrate free or homemade. You know, there are a lot of hunters down here in Texas who will kill their own meat and then, they'll preserve it. So you can do homemade beef jerky. Dark chocolate. Kate knows I'm a big chocolate junkie, right? At school, it's like, would you like some dark chocolate? I'm like the little pervy guy who tries to like get 8-year-old kids in the van. But I do that with my fellow teachers. Would you like some dark chocolate? Dark chocolate's great. I am writing an article about some of the sugar-laden superfoods. So if some of you eat cacao, you'll know that a lot of them come flavored, and those have 30 to 40 grams of sugar just in one bar. So when I say dark chocolate, it needs to be high percentage and unflavored, but I'll talk about that later. As much as, you know, people like strawberry flavored dark chocolate, it's just the sugar's ratcheted up. If you look at 90% dark, it's about 5 grams of sugar and per serving. And there's typically 2 servings per candy bar. But if you're looking at the flavored, you're looking at 16 to 20, and that's like a Coke can. Yeah. Do you like the dark chocolate?
Yes, not quite as high percentage as you, but, you know, I'll eat the occasional square dark chocolate.
Yeah, that's good for you. It's got a lot of phytonutrients. What else can you have in there? Tea's great. Coffee's great. Ideally, your coffee should be organic because a lot of pesticides are sprayed on it. Tea bags are great. Ideally, when you do organic. The issue with tea, and we could do a separate podcast on this because, you know, we don't want this one to go too long, as much fun as we're having. Is that tea, the Camellia sinensis plant where we get the good teas. I mean, herbal teas are great. And you can speak, because I know as an aromatherapist, you know, a lot of those people use essential oils. But in terms of green, black, and white all come from the same plant. And they absorb a lot of fluoride. Fluoride's got some issues. We have it in water, but that's a separate podcast. But more importantly, most of our tea comes from overseas and they spray a lot of pesticides on them. So you do want to get them organic. But tea, green tea, white tea, a cup a day minimally is ideal. So have that in there. What about the dressings? You're more of a salad person than I am. Do you, like, what are some salad dressings you could do?
I'm a fan of balsamic vinegar. Mm-hmm. And so you can do an olive oil balsamic dressing. Mm-hmm. Vinaigrette, as long as it's, you know, you got to watch those sugars with vinaigrettes.
Right, because some of them are very flavored. Mm-hmm. Avocado oil is really big now. A lot of people are doing avocado oil, or they're using avocados to do mayonnaise too.
We have a friend at work mm-hmm. who uses salsa as a dressing. I've seen her use salsa when she wants a little something on her
really?
Lettuce.
Really? Yeah. Salsa is probably the best condiment next to mustard. Mustard's essentially just vinegar and mustard seeds. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament, the parable of the mustard seed. But salsa is overall pretty good. Salsa is fine. Those are probably your two go-to condiments.
Just watch sugar content with any of those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. In terms of chips, I love blue corn. I just like the earthy taste of it. I like the color of it. It is a little more nutrient dense than yellow corn. It is unflavored. So the non-MSG chips are going to be like baked Lay's, regular Lay's, Fritos, tortilla chips that are not flavored. But I love blue corn. I mean, I eat blue corn with hummus. I eat blue corn with peanut butter or almond butter. I eat blue corn with eggs. I mean, blue corn is like my bread. It's pretty much my bread. It's like a quasi bread. Yeah. Also, which is very faddish right now, are going to be kale chips, broccoli chips, beet chips, carrot chips. You find these at Whole Paycheck.
Sweet potato chips.
Yeah, those are good. I forgot the name of the brand. Tara. Tara makes those. Yeah. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kale chips.
Parsnips as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Parsnip chips. Kale chips are pricey. If you go to Whole Paycheck, I mean, you're literally looking at like $5 for like one of those snack size Lay's ones you give your kids. Really tiny, and they're super pricey. It's just better to make your own. Yeah. Yeah, definitely
just
go.
Just bake them in the oven with a little olive oil and salt.
That's how you would do it? Mm-hmm. Kate's definitely more of the cooking specialist. Like going back to breads, I remember I contacted her because I wanted to make a grilled cheese for my kids one time. And I was like,
catastrophic.
I was like, how do you make a grilled cheese? You put the butter on the inside or the outside? There is butter in it, right? Yeah, pretty much. I'm the expert at smoothies. Good at smoothies.
I am not good at smoothies.
Yes. Yeah. See, smoothies, eggs, mediocrely good at eggs. So smoothies, that's pretty much all I can do. And then eat a lot of blue corn chips. Yeah. So, so the chips. You can find chips. Now, most chips are made or fried in industrial-grade vegetable oil, soybean oil, corn oil, sunflower oil. They do have those that are baked, but even those you have to watch out. And then if you go high-end, you can find some that are actually fried in avocado or coconut oil. They're just pretty expensive. I do want to mention veggie chips. Veggie chips are really popular with kids. You either get the veggie chips or the veggie sticks, mm-hmm. right? If you don't use a lot of discernment, you're going to think those are actually made out of carrots and they're made out of whatever the green thing is.
They're made out of potatoes.
Yeah, they're all potatoes. Yeah, they're all potato flour. So again, potatoes are not that problematic. They are part of the dirty dozen, so they do absorb a lot of pesticides. But just be aware that veggie chips are not vegetable chips. If you want veggie chips, kale chips, those beet chips. I told Kate a couple of weeks ago that I ate the beet chips. And it did something funny to my output, so to speak. That
TMI.
Yeah. Yeah. It was colorful, like a rainbow. Yes. And really one of the last things is wine's okay. Now, I mean, there's a lot of controversy about wine in the paleo world. I think red wine is fine if you drink it with some moderation. Like I will drink red wine about one glass every 2 weeks. I just like the way it tastes. To me, it's like high percentage dark chocolate. It's just very soothing. But with wine, even there, a lot of wines, if you do the research, have a lot of preservatives. they put in a lot of additives, especially in the low-end wines. The higher wines don't. They're just pure grapes, but most of them, they add preservatives and sulfites and just garbage. So even there, they're Franken wines.
Yeah, so you're not getting the benefit of the resveratrol,
right?
Because it's outweighed by the preservatives, right?
It's like a bartender at a bar, right? They're going to put less of the alcohol and more of the fruit and syrup because it's cheaper for the restaurant and they can profit more out of it. So yeah, resveratrol is an enzyme that's found in red wine. And this is one of the reasons why the Mediterranean diet is seen as so popular or efficacious is because resveratrol is very good for heart health. But then there's some people that say, well, you can get resveratrol from dark chocolate and that resveratrol doesn't offset the toxic effect of alcohol or even wine on the body. So it's neither here nor there. Definitely beer is horrible and wine coolers and then all the mixed drinks because it's just sugar and food dyes. But, you know, it depends who you talk to. Some people, I know like Dave Asprey over at Bulletproof, he says hard liquor is great. If you have like a little shot of vodka or whiskey here and there, that's one of the easier ones to take down. I'm not a big hard liquor person. Pretty much I just stick to wine, partly because if you've listened to my confessions, you know my dad was a lover of the liquor. So I guess, you know, when you grow up seeing and your family's either like smokers or alcoholics, you either go that road or that route or you do the opposite and you want to stay away from those things. And I just happen to be one of those people where all I need is one glass of wine every 2 weeks. What about you, Kate?
I'm not a big drinker.
You're not a lush. What's your abstraction? Are you Irish, German?
Yeah.
All those, you're like a WASP Anglo mutt. Yeah. Yeah, good Aryan stock. Blue-eyed. I'm not going to make a Hitler reference.
I just found out the other day I have some Italian.
Oh, you're Italian. No, I'm Italian.
Italiano.
Grazie, prego. Italiano. Yeah, I mentioned in my elimination diet one that I thought tiramisu was a Japanese dessert.
Tiramisu.
Hi, we got to have sake with tiramisu. Hi. No, I actually thought that because you don't see a lot of U endings in Italian. And you, there are tons of U endings in Japanese. So I just thought it was like a Japanese ladyfinger chocolate concoction. Little did I know. Yeah. So before you jump off the bridge and like, oh my God, this is all I can have in my pantry. So let's review. Nuts, seeds, quinoa.
Oats.
Oats. Yeah. You got to throw in your oats. You love your oats. Rice, I don't have a problem with. Homemade beef jerky's all right. Dark chocolate, tea, coffee, the oils to put in salad dressings, vinaigrette if it's not too sugary, salsa. I didn't mention the peanut butters here. I guess it's just assumed it's subsumed under the nuts. Peanut butter you want to throw out. It's hydrogenated vegetable oil in most of them, which is a trans fat. If you love the nut butters, go with the cashew butter, the almond butter. The cheapest one's probably almond butter. But they're okay. The nut butters have a lot of calories, but as a whole, a serving a day is fine. Do you have an opinion on the nut butters? Your kids like the nut butters?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Who doesn't like peanut butter? Oh, I know someone.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
You crazy. You crazy.
My boy, Blue.
You crazy. Old school references right there. Old school, the classic movie. You crazy.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, man. He did some up and down movies, right? He's great, like an Anchorman and an Old School. But then The Other Guys is a great one where he's a cop with Mark Wahlberg.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's
one.
A great one. He's so good in that. Mm. And then Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. So that's
not
great.
My favorite.
Baby Jesus, it's Adult Jesus. Favorite. Oh, man. Those are great.
I liked Old School a lot.
Old School's great. Yeah, Vince Vaughn. He's at his peak. Vaughn. Yeah, he's at his peak. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, so other things before we finish this off, because again, Kate and I can yammer on and 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 on ad infinitum. In terms of flour, like a lot of you want to bake, throw out the flour, which comes from wheat, and you can replace it with coconut or almond flour. Have you done any baking with that?
I have. I've done banana bread. Actually, I've done quite a lot of baking with coconut and almond flour. So,
is it taste different?
I like baked sweets. And
yeah.
You know, you just have to play around with ingredients and play around with different, you know, maybe using honey as a sweetener or maple syrup as a sweetener, real maple syrup.
And we, you know, we didn't really mention that, but honey in a certain amount is okay. Yeah. It does spike the sugar like regular sugar does, but it is a little more nutrient dense. And there's a lot of natural remedy stuff you can do with honey as well. So you should definitely have it in your pantry, more than agave nectar, I would say. And with syrup, just make sure it's organic and it's like legit, not Aunt Jemima.
Yes, that it's grade A amber syrup. Yeah. They have different, you know, different ranges of light to dark, but you need to choose that over
Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
Oh my, Aunt Jemima drives me crazy. If you look at the bottle, it's plastic, and then it says on the back that you can microwave it to get it warm. I'm like, oh God, don't microwave plastics. Yeah, so coconut and almond flour, you can find that in most grocery stores. Another thing that, Kate, you told me yesterday at school you're trying out is cauliflower as an alternative for rice. This is kind of big right now, too, is you could throw out the white rice and use cauliflower. Have you tried making that at home?
I haven't tried a cauliflower rice just because I've don't have a great food processor right now. But I have made cauliflower faux mashed potatoes.
Oh, how did that go?
Great. Great. It was very similar to the real deal.
Did your kids eat it? Did they know it was different?
You know, they'd eat it as much as they would eat a mashed potato.
Which is not a lot, or is that a lot? I don't know.
No, they didn't love it, but... that's okay.
What's your kids? Because I know yours range from what, 9 to 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
What's the kids' go to food? If Lord of the Flies and it was anarchy in an island, but there was like a Willy Wonka factory where they could grab any hot food or candy food. Like what's your kids' go to?
Oh my goodness, that's putting me on the spot.
Yeah, pretty much what, pizza.
They like pizza, but it's not their favorite. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
You think about it. Well, like with my kids, you know, yeah, my kids, it's all, they love pizza. Pizza, 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 pizza. And I'm trying to get them to eat more dark chocolate. And it's weird because when they were younger, like 2, 3, 4 years old, they loved 90% dark. Now when I give it to them, they don't want to eat it.
Yeah, my kids gag on it.
And I'm like, no, you used to eat it all the time. You're not supposed to revert. Yeah, so cauliflower, they use that too for pizza crusts. I've never done that. I hear that it is difficult, and you have to find a way to keep the crust moist. If not, it breaks up. So maybe put in some egg to keep it moist. But that's something, that's another alternative you can do. So again, Rome wasn't built in a day. Just like with the fridge, it's going to take some time. And this is just kind of a rubric, teachers. We teachers love that word, right? Rubric, provide a rubric to the kids. This is just an idea of things that you can do that will overall lead to better health. Throwing out all the cookies and crackers because of all the aforementioned toxins, and then replacing them with the aforementioned good foods. So it will take time. There are places that you can get recipes all online. Do you know any places or anything you go to?
www.naturopathicearth.com.
But
seriously.
You're a paid paid lobbyist.
I will say this, and I used to go to a website called Elena's Pantry. She is an excellent, excellent baker, and she is all gluten-free. So she will use gluten-free flours like coconut almond flour, and then, you know, dark chocolate and alternate sweeteners other than sugar.
Yeah, and there's a lot of paleo cookbooks if you go to Barnes & Noble or any place like that or online, and you know, Mark's Daily Apple, all these places have recipes. So, I mean, even though it's daunting, just take your time, just be slow about it. But eventually, and this is something that Kate and I and friends of I are doing. It takes time. If you were to look in my pantry, again, you'd find the blue corn chips. You would find that there. So I'm not perfect. We're just here to bring awareness about food toxins and natural remedies. And just, we're all just trying to do the best that we can. You know, that's all that we can really do.
And as long as you're making good choices a majority of the time, you know, you don't have to be perfect.
No. To forgive is human. What is it? To err is human. To forgive is divine.
Ah. Yes. So forgive yourself if you eat those.
Oh, yeah, foods. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be shamed. You know, that's that part of unhealthy eating cycles. And right. I can talk about, because, you know, through my confessions, all the binge eating, you feel really, really bad. And then you, oh my God, I hate myself. I'm horrible. Look what I did. And then it just fuels you to eat more. So definitely, there's really no such thing as a bad food and a good food. That's something I try to impart to my kids too. It's like, you don't want people, especially kids, to think, oh, don't eat that. It's bad for you. Because really nothing is bad for you unless you're eating like arsenic.
Yeah.
That's probably bad for you. But most foods aren't bad for you. It's just like I tell my kids, like there's some foods that are going to make you get tall like daddy and make you smart. And then there's going to be some foods that are going to make you stupid and die young. I don't tell them.
Yeah, right.
I don't tell them that. But I just have, there's foods that are not going to make you smart as quickly. So choose wisely. Like in the old crusader and Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade, he chose wisely. nerddom. Okay, so we're going to finish out right here. Please visit us. Oh, you want to do the send out, right? You did the bring in, so you can do the send out. Or I'll do the send out, okay. Because you're in the send out voiceover.
I am.
That's right, you
That's
are.
That's me.
That is you, yes. So visit our website. I think Kate mentions that in the voiceover. But anyways, thanks for listening. Please listen to our future podcasts. And it'd be great if you can post a review or subscribe or get on our mailing list. For those of you who are not on our mailing list, we only send the articles and that's it. We do not send, we don't sell your email to anybody. We don't even send like affiliate stuff. It's literally just you get an email of the newest article or the newest podcast. So I definitely recommend you join that. And go on Twitter and follow us on Twitter. I try to post some stuff on food and try to make it kind of funny and clever. Facebook, I'm starting that one up. I really haven't done much aside from posting articles, but please go there. I'd really appreciate it.
And that's at Naturopath Earth.
Earth, yeah.
Not Naturopathic Earth, right?
That's right. We took out the ick, or we couldn't get it. One of the two. Maybe one of the two, yeah. But that's all I got to say, Kate.
All right.
All right.
Clean out your pantry.
Clean out your pantry. Sweep it out along with your fridge, okay? Throw it out. So you guys take care until next time. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.